And so I do think that we're all going to enjoy and already love, of course, we already love James Hamill.
And so I thought, well, that's pretty interesting that he's been, you know, was living, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, and this knowledge has been around, so why aren't we all, you know, really familiar with it, and what's going on with it? And so as I kind of read through there, things started coming in, and I was going like, boy, this is really simple. So I thought, you know, we should start a new KISS program. Instead of keep it simple, stupid, we'd make it keep it simple spiritually and try and work on that thing. But as I got reading through there, I just realized how much life intrudes on us and intrudes on our peace. And really what I started getting from this thing is that the peace we have out there is what we create and what we choose. But there are huge peace destroyers out there. And it reminds me of that old cartoon. And I'll be darned if I can remember the name of it, but he had an alligator in there, and the guy's name was Walt. It was the first name of the cartoonist. Does anybody remember what it is? I can't remember. But anyway, one of his classic cartoons was the guy was standing there, and he said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us."
Oh, Pogo.
Who's that?
Pogo.
Pogo, thank you. I was sitting there racking my brain. Couldn't remember Pogo. So, and it's true. We're the ones that end up destroying our peace. We make choices and every day that sit and just destroy the peace that we could have. Millie's class on the Tuesday night class, so last night we got talking, and one of the things that came up that I really related to was that one of the people in the class, we were talking that, you know, there is so much love. You come into this church or the Sunday church, and it's just amazing. I've had people that I've brought to church, they're just amazed. They go, the love in there is just it's overwhelming. It's palpable. And that's because we all come in here and there's so much love in the room because we're here to hear each other and to help each other, support each other, and love each other. And you don't, we don't get that out there in the world. Never happens. Or it happens very rarely in instances. But to get it concentrated like this, where else do you go to find that? We talk in our healing classes about how that church, of Kensington Church, and this one very much so as well, has a residue of energy. And when you're in there in classes, the spirits that come, the energy that's in there is just amazing. And they come to work with us. And when they come and work with us, we're left what I call this love hangover. And it's just amazing. You feel so good after spirit comes to you. And you just can't get that anywhere. It's not just everywhere in the world, but it's in our church. It's in this place. And we all get to come and partake of it. And so there's all this love that's out there. And how much do we allow ourselves to take? There's so much love out there, we couldn't take it all. We could take as much as we could possibly have, and there'd still be so much more for everybody else. But so many times, and I know I do it, is that we resist. We go, oh no, you know what, I've got enough, that's all I can take. You know, that's all I deserve. I could take more, but that's really all I deserve. And so I was doing one of the things I was reading. They said, expect miracles in your life and expect to receive things that you don't deserve. Now, can you do that? Can you sit and say, you know what, I could accept more than what I deserve? Because most of us don't have that great, you know, our self-esteem level might be here, But really everybody else sees us way up here, but we don't see it in ourselves. And so we keep taking ourselves and putting ourselves, I'll just take that, I should get is that little piece of the pie. That's all I really deserve. Because I haven't done very much, and we're our best critic. You know, we know all the shortcomings we have and things. But there's so much love out there that we could take for ourselves. So I encourage everybody to dream dreams and accept and expect rewards that you're not worthy of, that are way, way more than you ever think that you should deserve. If you think, I just did that job, and I ought to get paid about $2,000 for the work that I did, expect to get $10,000. And expect that and live into it, because that's how our future happens. We end up living into a future that we create right now from our expectations. So if we can expect much, much more than what we think we deserve, then we can change that future that we're living into. If you were going to build a house, what would you do? You might go find a lot, you might get an architect and draw up plans, and you'd go spend all this time and energy into how this was going to look, and you'd pick out the paint and how the trim might be, or you might have a walkway going up and it's going to be terrazzo or tile or whatever it's going to be. But when we look at our lives, and especially our spiritual lives, we don't spend much time thinking about what that looks like. And if we do, then we start having intention. And when we have intention, Millie talks in our classes, she said, does everybody have your journal? Do you write down what you want? Because once you start doing that, then that's an intention for you. And you start living into that intention. So we don't spend very much time. Financial planners laugh and they say, people spend more time planning their vacations than they do planning their retirement. Well, I'm planning a vacation right now, and I can tell you, I spent all day, it was fun, it was on the internet, I'm checking flights and checking cars and doing all that kind of stuff. But when I talk about my spiritual side, a lot of times it's just I kind of bumble along, and this is how it works out, and thank God I got introduced to this church, because it's changed, took me off on another path that has been wonderful. And I get to interact with my spiritual family, and I do it twice a week when I can, because it's such a reward. But had I not kind of bumbled in the door, who knows where I'd be? And so this keeps me coming back and keeps filling me up. So the gentleman that I want to talk about a little bit tonight, his name is Epictetus. And he was, as I said, he was born in Greece and became a Roman slave. And somehow he was emancipated because of his wisdom. This guy had it together so much that they freed him, made him a free man. And wealthy people would send their sons to study with him because of his wisdom. So he was one of the Stoic philosophers. And the Stoics, it was really a way of life for them. And what they believed, let me find it here. And of course I had this all ready to go. I was going to print it out. My son called me and said, "Hey Dad, I just used the last of the ink cartridge. Can you get another one?" So I said, "Sure." So we went out, got another one, went home, plugged it into the computer. The last thing he had to print, printed right out of the computer perfectly. "Could I get this to print?" "No way." "Check your print cartridge about 14 times." So anyway, that's why I have the computer up here. So the Stoics held that unhappiness and evil are the results of ignorance. And if someone is unkind, it's because they're unaware of their own universal reason. And if you are unhappy, it is because you've forgotten how nature actually works. The solution to evil and unhappiness, then, is the practice of philosophy, to examine one's own judgments and behavior and determine where they have diverged from the universal reason of nature. Pretty simple. It's like Millie says, watch your thoughts, watch your words, watch your actions. If you keep it simple and you stay in tune with nature, then life kind of flows. And we were talking about it last night as well in our class. People say, athletes say it, "I'm in the zone." Boy, I was in the zone. Baseball players are up at the plate and they say, "I'm in the zone. This guy's ripping the ball because the ball looks like it's coming down at about 20 miles an hour. He's in the zone." And we can get in the zone in a spiritual sense and really be present. And really be present right now as to what's going on. Rather than be sitting there, listening to the little voice that's over here going, Oh, you know, look at that. He'd look better with longer hair, don't you think? Or probably more hair. He'd look a lot better with more hair. And all those little judgment things that we have going on, and we do it all the time. Now, some of you may not be aware of that little voice, so I'll just wait a minute. Yeah, that's that little voice that's out there. So that little voice is the one that's out there destroying our peace as well. And because of what we choose and what we choose to listen to coming out of there and our judgments, well, what destroy our peace? So Epictetus had a couple of things to say. I'm going to take straight from his quotes. I'm going to read a couple of these and then I'll just talk about them and kind of update them for today. He said, when I see a man in a state of anxiety, what can this man want? If he did not want something which is not in his power, how could he still be anxious? Pretty simple. Nothing outside the will can hinder or harm the will. The will can only harm itself. If we then accept this, and when things go amiss, we are inclined to blame ourselves, remembering that judgment alone can disturb our peace and constancy, I swear to you by all the gods that we have made progress. Again, looking back and taking responsibility for our judgments and what we're doing. In a word, neither death, nor exile, nor pain, nor anything of this kind is the real cause of our doing or not doing any action, but our opinions and the decisions of our will. Again, we have free will. We get to make those choices, but it's our decisions again. What decisions are we making? Are we choosing peace? Are we choosing judgment and projection of fear? And, you know, I used to say, you know, when I walked in the room, especially, and I try not to do it much anymore, but I'm getting better. I can't say that I'm free of it. But I used to think, you know, I should have somebody walking into the room ahead of me saying, okay, all rise. Court now in session. The very judgmental Dave is now presiding over court. Oh, you know, look at that. His shoes, look at the shoes. Those things are so worn down and his clothes and blah, blah, blah. And that's what we do. We judge. And we project our fears out there on everybody else. And then when they do something that activates it, then we get upset and think it's their problem, not realizing it's our lesson. But that's the way we're raised. You know, we're raised that way, and darn it if we're going to change now. So as we come into this church, I'm just amazed and I'm so happy because I don't feel that. I don't get that from you guys. When we sit and talk, it's just so loving. And if we could take this little drop of the church and put it in the oceans of the world to go all around the world, then life transforms and the world transforms. Where is the good? In the will. Where is the evil? In the will. Where is neither of them? In those things which are independent of the will. Or, like as Millie likes to say, watch your words, watch your thoughts, watch your actions. Who's driving here? Who then is the invincible? It is he who none of the things disturb which are independent of the will. So when you know that these things are all external and they don't disturb you, you're invincible. Because you're taking control of what you can control. And you're not trying to control things that are outside of your control. It said, no man is free who is not master of himself. And this is a Roman slave. Where did this guy get this stuff? You know, where is this, you know, what was his training? How do you get educated as a slave to be able to come up with this stuff? This is phenomenal. It said, wherever I go, it will be well with me. For it was well with me here, not on account of the place, but of my judgments, which I shall carry away with me. For no one can deprive me of these. On the contrary, they alone are my property and cannot be taken away. And to possess them suffices me wherever I am or whatever I do. I am formed by nature for my own good. I am not formed for my own evil. If therefore any be unhappy, let him remember that he is unhappy by reason of himself alone. He is a wise man who does not grieve for things which he has not, but rejoices for those we have, that he has. I really think that if you look at what he's saying, and then for all you 12-steppers out there that know the Serenity Prayer, God give me the wisdom to, let's see, I think I have it down here again. I don't want to mess it up.
To see to... the things I cannot change.
to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. That's Epictetus. That's basically what he's saying. How many times do we spend our portions of our lives just fighting and railing against something over which is not changeable? And we just feel like, gosh, I'm swimming against the tide. So if you feel like you're swimming against the tide, get present to what's going on. And maybe you ought to do a 180 and let the tide carry you. Because when you're going with the tide, life happens, and then you're getting in the zone. But we don't do that. We destroy our peace. We make these choices that go, oh no, that mountain, I'm going to move that thing with my hands. Here we go. And you'll just rail against it. I've done it. You sit there and just keep going and going and going, and it's not changeable. It's not anything that you can change. You know, whether it's a relationship, somebody else's feelings, somebody who's passed, those things happen. So spend your energy on those things that you can control. How you feel inside, your judgments, what's going on with you, rather than go through the other things. So, you know, I've got a whole bunch more stuff in here, and I'm not going to get into it because it's just going to take so long. But what I really was struck with, again, was for us to be masters of our emotions and really to work on only dealing with those things that we can control. And once we start judging, and once we start, you know, trying to figure out who's better or who did this or what happened, then we destroy our peace. And if we're going to control ourselves and our emotions so that we're happy and have this happiness that is just joyful, it's to let that stuff go. Just let it go. It's so much easier when you just stay centered in yourself and start loving yourself. And I think a big key to this whole thing is forgiveness. And it has nothing to do with forgiving the other person. Somebody you may feel has wronged you, they don't need forgiveness. You need forgiveness about your thoughts about them. Because once you forgive yourself for those judgmental thoughts you had, then your healing starts. And you can start loving yourself. And as I said before, we spend so much time pushing the love away. Stay away. You know, I've got to say, I'm only deserve this much. You know, we don't. We deserve so much because this isn't us. This body isn't us. We're this incredibly powerful being of light. This soul that is one with God, lives outside of time, is immortal, and is so powerful. But we keep relating to this body of flesh. Once we get that, and we start loving ourselves for that soul that we are, then we can start taking in more and more. And it's hard. You know, I'm sure tomorrow I'll have those moments where, again, my peace is gone because I got upset about something or something else. But it happens, you know, as you get present to it, and then it happens less and less and less, and joy grows and grows and grows. And it's like going to the gym and working out those spiritual muscles. You know, we keep working on it, keep working on it, keep working on it. Pretty soon, boy, it's feeling pretty good, starting to get a habit. And that's what I found happens with this for me. So, anyway, if anybody likes, I've got there's a great website with quotes, and it's fun to get on there and start looking up some of these quotes from the ancients. And it, you know, one will take you here, and then you'll bounce to somebody else, and you can. I've spent hours on there just kind of going through it. So it's a lot of fun to see what has happened in the past, and you know how it gets diverted today, so that we don't hear a lot of the wisdom that's out there. It's really very applicable for what goes on in our lives. So I want to thank you for this time, and I give all honor to God and the Angel Kingdom because they're the ones that are doing this. So if you liked it, give them the praise. I give it to them, and any clunkers belong to me. So thank you very much. Thank you for the time.
Don't you believe God sends us in angels?
Yes.
Is that wonderful? And you know, Dave, you've been doing a lot of thinking. Lots of thinking. Lots of clearing your pathway. And that's what we all need to be doing. Clearing our pathway of anything negative and just filling it with all those wonderful, beautiful thoughts, huh, Paul? All right. I have some talent here tonight that is, that when you hear this young man sing, I believe you're going to feel that it was kind of planned to go along with Dave's talk. Don't you think? I know what the song is. What?
I just moved the bench because I didn't know there was
going to
be a singer.
Oh. S-I-N-G-E-R.
Huh?
S-I-N-G-E-R. Did you hear what she said?
Singer.
Oh, I thought she said...
Singer?
Oh! You thought she said singer. Shame me on you, Barbara.